Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Welcome to Keep the Ball on the Grind. Are we ready to go? What about, by the way, what we need to say about Simon. Andrew, tell the public where Simon is today.
In the same pig sick bed as you were last week. In cell, basically.
I actually heard he was in getting surgery to get his lips enlarged. Aye. I think that's true. Also, Kevin, last week when I wasn't here telling the truth, I was down in Celtic Park trying to get the job.
Aye.
Rightly so.
Were you there after the game or not?
Aye. Causing a bit of trouble. Aye. I see what feels fit. So I went down. They wanted Si to be the manager, me to be the assistant, and Kevin Kyle to be hooping around.
That's the confidence builder you need.
Back, no, look, just swagging about now. How you been, lads? All right, Andrew? You been good, mate?
Good, mate. Aye, good. It's a good weekend.
What about you, Kevin?
Mate, I'm superb. I'm just, you obviously, he sent me a text this morning, Andy said, there's a rumour that you're driving by my house today, but he failed to tell me that Si wasn't coming. Me or him might hate to take over, but I'm glad he stepped up to the plate. He's got that mantle about him that he can just step in when needed.
See, generally, like when you found out that you had to host today, how did you feel?
Mate, honestly, like I've got, as you know, a small house, so I kept walking about the house with the family and just each one of them saying to them, welcome to keeping the ball on the ground. And my dad, he took it upon himself to
get a
gear put
that.
His balls in the ground. Boys, I need
you
to see.
Rehearsing with your dad?
Oh, actually, me and my dad were rehearsing, combing each other's hair and all that. Here, guess what? This is genuine, right? And God's honest truth, I'm getting back into football.
Yes!
Mate, like,
finally, mate!
I know.
In what capacity?
Well, that's what I was thinking, right? Peter, he's always an option, right? But I ain't going there.
Nah, it's just... It's
I genuinely... The only thing I think will motivate me is an SPL club.
Aye.
Now, that's...
But you said, though, there's quite a few of them being before.
There's a few, do you know what I mean? So I need to pick what's right for me. But genuinely, the truth, I'm going to get back into football. I've been doing miles and miles running. I think, right, as much as me and Motherwell fans don't get on, as you know, Andrew and Kevin, we don't get on. Obviously, I paid for the pitch. I did pay for the pitch. They don't ever thank me for that. You know what I mean? Unbelievable surface. You've seen V Celtic. The surface now, it was a pigsty before I left. Put it down. So, listen, I'm saying to Motherwell, what a fairy tale it would be for me to go back in there where I started. My ma loves the club, she loves it, she loves what they've done for me. I'm a wee bit different with my feelings towards them, but we can make that right, and I think Motherwell is the perfect fit. Go in training, much do I want a week, Andrew, we'll start with three. That's my agent, Andy's my agent, ain't you, Andy?
I'm going to push for a wee bit more, because what teams need to realise that are bringing you in, it's not just the quality, it's the fan base, it's the global recognition. See the shirt sales, mate, like... Shirt sales are just going to... How much money is that?
And but you think, Kevin, of the media coverage, my first game there.
Aye.
Holding a scarf.
Aye.
You know what I mean?
It could be the biggest re-signing in football history.
It could be. And imagine right now, if there's a go-ahead for Motherwell, the documentary in Mutant Street's running.
Hopefully it's a better documentary than Big Davy Tumbles.
What about if you watch Hearts one? Is it any good?
Mate, the Hearts documentary, right, I'm surprised you've not talked about it yet, but we need to talk about it at some point. When they did go to the clips and they've done a shooting drill, Austin McPhee is in the box and he goes to do a diving needle and totally misses it, totally makes a himself. I just want somebody to
dig a big
hole.
Language.
Sorry, he made a fool of himself. I just wanted somebody to dig a big hole and him to disappear in it.
I've not watched it. I need to actually watch it.
It's a great insight into the club.
Talking about Hoopy the Hound, by the way, Austin McPhee's a spitting image for Hoopy, no?
Aye, just a weight in it.
Aye.
Maybe just need to put his head on your body and see how it goes. By the way, I've just looked at that window there and I've noticed Ibrox.
It's following you the new, isn't it?
So it is. I think it's there.
Serious question though, right? So Motherwell phone you the morrow, I was like, right, we want you back, like, we need you. Because
the day?
I think the day, aye. Or Celtic say, listen, come and help us at the end of the season, try and get 10. Like, what you doing?
Straight to Celtic.
Straight to Celtic.
Aye, got to be. Yeah. And I still believe, and I'll say this to every single Celtic fan out there, and every single Rangers fan, this ain't over until the Fat Lady sings, so start singing. Okay, but I'm sorry, mate. Usually, no, I mean you.
Don't be sorry, Stanley, because I'd be more sorry if I looked at the mail every morning. But anyway, no, 10. 10's a thing in the past.
We're moving on swiftly for that.
You see what I get?
You trying to talk about
mate,
it.
Mate, this is your issue, though. You need to face these things.
Last week, you've
shied away in the past for some of these things.
As soon as the hard times come, I go running.
See, the date, for example, we'll get to that at the end, but I think that showed, like, look how nervous she was meeting you at the start. You need to realise how big a presence you are.
I crumbled. We'll get to that. We'll get to the date. But what
are you going to ask a fucking question, the host? Let's get started with the subject.
What's the first question?
Wait a minute, before we go, just this is just for me and Heed to relax me. Who would you say, in if past terms or future terms or whatever, who you like as a host? Can be anything. Who do you think is a good host down the line?
That's a good question.
Great question. I was actually thinking, Johnny Ross is good. I genuinely think Si, as if this wee joke about Si's lips was the first time I slagged him in 2 years because he's not here. So I'll praise him now. I actually believe that Si could be Saturday night, Johnny Ross in Scotland. Just don't think everybody's saying you need to get down in England. Let's make Scotland the best country in the world because it is. So let's get the entertainment business at the very best here. Get the English watching us, what we do. So I think Simon Ferry could be the Johnny Ross, but we need to make it where I fit in as well, yourself. So Johnny Ross is magnificent, isn't he?
Guy with a lisp and guy with nail lips. So they go together. The best for me, Ant and Dick. Ant and Dick are brilliant, man. Paddy McGuinness.
Do you like Paddy McGuinness?
Do you know what Take Me Out, no? Take Me Out is brilliant, no?
Take Me Out is good.
It gives me the fear, but because imagine I went on that show and walked out and all the red lights came on.
It would just be
a fucking wall of red, let's be honest.
It'd be like a picture of your face, wouldn't it?
Okay, guys. Kevin, come on. Ain't no man in
heart. Ain't no
that was good. That was the only good bit I produced, and I shat myself.
Yeah, that's actually decent with the guitar, though.
I can't believe it. Mate, genuinely, I'll just say before we move on to the football. When I was there, the first 15 minutes, I was so confident. Then I almost... I said a wee thing, wee joke, and it didn't go down too well. And genuinely, my confidence just sucked out of me. My arse collapsed. Everything about it just went tits up. And I could feel myself being what I've seen for 29 years of my life, seeing my dad produces. I've seen him. I actually love my dad. I don't like I go for the wee guy all the time. Moving on to football, guys. Andrew, we're going to start with Rangers. It's the only place we must start. Absolute dominant display again for Rangers. Are they now favourites to win the league?
Aye, they're favourites. I'm not going to get away for that. And see, watching both games yesterday, right? The first 20 minutes of both games were only too dissimilar. Because Rangers never started well. I think it took them 22, 23 minutes before they had a shot and goal. You know, possession was breaking down a wee bit. They were comfortable in possession, but Ross County were frustrating them. But the thing with Rangers is, they're doing that well, they're that confident. They've got that many goal scorers within the team. You just knew at any point in time they're just going to turn on the gas and start creating chance out of nowhere. Boy Payton for Ross County has a chance. I think it's like 23, 24 minutes. Decent chance, Greggsy makes a good save. Roof scores a minute later, and then after that, Stephen Davis yesterday. Honestly, I don't know how we can talk about... Well, obviously we're going to get to James Tavernier in a minute. 35. See, mate, I'm 29, right? And I couldn't imagine playing to 35, you know, and that's being honest.
And he's like, producing
people that play to that age, I think, it's no easy. Because that like recovery and injuries, niggles, they all end up taking their toll, but it's the level he's playing at.
I think that's the difference. People can play when they're a bit older, but usually when you get to that stage, you start to fall down the leagues and stuff. Do you know what I mean? But with Steve Davis.
He's still dictating the games. That's the difference. He's like, Andy's saying there, the first 20 minutes, both games were a bit similar, but it's a one piece of quality for Davis that opens up that pass. Don't get me wrong, for him to make that pass, they need movement off the ball. Morelos comes short, late off. Tavernier sees the overlap. Great pass in, ball across the box, and roofed him at a striker. Days get across the keeper, good touch. And Rangers, you know what I mean? When you watch, I don't really like to talk about Celtic again amongst the Rangers chat, when you watch the two of them now, you know that Rangers are going to score eventually.
Aye.
Whereas with Celtic, you don't know that they're going to score eventually because they don't create enough opportunities.
And nine times out of ten, Rangers don't look like conceding.
No. I just think that Rangers, I think if you look at the two games yesterday, kick-off, Rangers took the kick-off, went back to goals and they played a couple of passes. That was fine. What did Celtic do? Back to near beat on and he tries to send a 30, 40 yard diagonal straight to the Ross County, straight to the St. Johnson player, and that's him lost the ball straight away. That doesn't set a good tone at the start of the game.
I think yesterday was a game, when you play in Europe and the performance they put in Europe was so hard, the work they had to put in to see that other line. It's all about getting a win, Ross County. And the way they set up was a nightmare. They had everybody behind the ball and they put that performance in.
They ended up playing some very good stuff by the end of the game. You know, after the first inning, the second goes in, it was plain sailing, just so comfortable after that. But people are talking about unbeaten run, right? I wouldn't go as far as that. I wouldn't get us carried away because I just think that the amount of games you're going to play, you know, that Rodgers season with Celtic, I don't think we'll see that again. And I do think a blip inevitably is going to come.
Yeah.
But seeing the next 4, 5, 6, 7 games, don't see it coming.
No.
I just the place range are in the note. How many players are on form and performing? I can't see them losing anything soon.
I remember you when you first came on the show how highly you spoke of Tavernier. What about the season he's having?
Mate, ridiculous.
Incredible, eh?
People, don't get carried away what I'm going to say here, right? That's numbers that you're talking like
best
strikers in the world produce.
Yeah.
27 goal contributions in 24 games.
Take the penalties away. Take the penalties away, right? Because ultimately, you still have to score these penalties. He's in the box as a striker, scoring his goal. How does a right back end up in that position? And the reason he ends up in that position is because the build-up's on the left-hand side, so he sees that opportunity to go in there because he's thinking, right, okay, if I'm going up there, I'm still being covered by Goldson. Davis is sitting. There's enough cover. I can still get... Because you know what it's like, Andy, when you do a phase of play and things like that on a Friday before a game, you'll always say, if we're going down one wing, if you're the fullback or the winger, you be that guy at the far stick to try and you might get that opportunity. That's what Tavernier's doing all the time. Every time you're doing that left side, he's in there at the far stick. And to be in there getting goals, it's not just free kicks or penalties, it's all sorts of types of goals that he's scoring. So,
Yesterday they said it was one of his best goals. I actually think that's his best goal of the season. For a right back to be in the 6-yard box with a tap in is unbelievable. Shows you the confidence that guy's in. I believe at the moment he's the front runner for the player of the year.
Aye, and I don't think it's close.
There's nobody going to run him close. The only other one that for me would run him close would be Stephen Davis, his teammate, because he's consistently performing each week without grabbing the headlines, because the people who score the goals grab the headlines.
I think, like, you can name a few Rangers players, to be honest. I think outside of Rangers, your probably star performance has been Lewis Ferguson, Nisbet.
Yeah.
And then out with that, you're mainly talking about Rangers. But I think, if you ask me after 8 games, as I said, Ryan Kent's the front runner. I'm not like, no problem at all. But since then, so I said 27 goal contributions in 24, 25 games. He's scored or assisted in, I think it's 9 of the last 10 games. And let's not forget, he's a right back and he's a part of a team that's conceded 3 goals in the league.
In January, that teams will come in for him?
That's my biggest fear, generally. I think that, I've said it before, I think Tav was a victim of the team's success. So see, over the last 2, 3, 4 years when we've not won anything, we've not played well, I think he's been a victim of that, because he's even because he's still been scoring 10 goals a season, 12 goals a season. He's still been getting 12, 15 assists a season. Defensively, there's been questions over him, right? Fair enough, if you want to argue that. But his numbers alone, like, I've said it before, Trent Alexander-Arnold, in my mind, is the best right-back in the world. I still don't think he's a great defender.
Mm-hmm. No.
So it's like, just the modern-day fullback, they bring more attacking qualities than defensively these days, especially at the bigger teams that are expected to attack. And the thing is with Tavares, I just think it would be, if a team did come in for him, it would need to be the right to, see if he was going to a West Brom, it was like their backs against the wall every week. And like,
who could you see?
That's my biggest fear, that somebody does come in for him.
What team do you think you could see him going to, Kev?
See,
if it happened.
See, I look at things like like say Everton now, right? They've got Seamus Coleman, who at right back is aging. Tavernier, could he replace somebody like that? I think so. I think maybe questions will be asked of Tavernier on his defending sometimes, but that's something that he can improve on. I think that's without question. I think this year it's not been such an issue because Rangers haven't had to defend particularly a lot during the games that they played, because they're constantly attacking, and the way they set up their games, the way the team perform, that they don't really have to be defending. Like Andy says, Tavernier leaving somebody the size of Rangers to go to a West Brom or a Sheffield United or somebody like that, don't see the point. Come January, somebody comes in with a big money offer, say like a Newcastle and Everton, somebody West Ham, somebody like that, it's going to have to be a substantial amount to take him away. And secondly, as you as an individual, the player, you're sitting there thinking, God, I could be the captain that lifts that trophy at the end of the season to stop 10 in a row, to get 55. Do I want to miss out on that opportunity?
I think like a Leeds or something. I think like a Leeds or something like that.
Aye. He's still quite young. He's not like
20. My age, 29.
Is he 29? I actually thought he was younger than that. Well, that there chucks in another headache, because he is 29, right? So he's got one more move in him. So when that opportunity may arise, he might look at it and think...
I just don't think there's any way Rangers would let him go.
No,
I
think it would be suicide.
Regardless of what comes in, I think in the summer, that's a different story, but in January, there would be... people would be going mental.
The thing is, Slaney, with January window, is a window where you sign players that you need. You're needing a striker, you're needing a centre-half to show up your defence, you're needing a goalie to stop. Is a right back a big thing in January? I don't really believe that that's a position that clubs go looking for big players in January. I think you panic buy in January because you need to score goals, you need to stop goals, so that's the positions I feel that particularly are more important in January. So he might Rangers will be given. I think Rangers will be given that headache in January.
Have you ever won player of the year at any league or any club you've been at?
Nah, the only thing I won North East Player of the Year, Young Player of the Year back in 2001, which is it was actually quite a big deal in the North East of England. It was between like Sunderland, Middlesbrough, Newcastle, Hartlepool, Darlington at the time, and I won the North East Young Player of the Year. Kevin, but that was a bit as exciting
as it. Can you tell me some players that were in that with you?
Well, there would have been Shola Amiobi would have been in the running, right. He would have been young, there would have been guys at Middlesbrough like, fuck knows, but yeah. I won it. No care. Didn't matter. They were second, third, fourth.
Andrew, what about you, mate?
Young Player of the Year, first year, Livy club and then the league. So I was 16 at that time.
Had you, aye?
Since then, absolutely fuck it all.
Aye. I'm not an individual.
Don't get me wrong, I did win the Rangers Golfer of the Year when I was at Rangers. I won the scratch competition that day, but that's about all I've won, really.
Do you know what?
What were your shells at golf, man?
No, I never. I'm the host, they don't ask me questions. See, just on when you were voting for the Player of the Year, would you ever almost vote to try?
Nah.
Do you know what I'm saying?
I know what you're trying to say, aye, but...
Can you say it then for the people? Because I don't think they understood that there.
I know, they did. It means, like, if you're a, say, me, Celtic fan, Andy, Rangers fan, would I vote predominantly Celtic players so that Rangers didn't get it? No, I would vote for I would always vote for the people who I would come up against that season and think they were good.
Aye.
And that's how I would vote.
I genuinely used to vote for the worst players, right? But who gave me the biggest buzz watching? But no, it's just lagging, man. Connor Salmon used to get me so excited because I was just like, what's this guy doing on the pitch? Genuinely, it's no try to slag the guy because he said that. good career. If people want to say that for me, I mean, it's a good career. But no, 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 no. Listen, it's a great career. But for me, watching, I used to get some buzz.
Who's centre half?
Big Craigan. You know what I mean? But he's another one. That Craigan probably made my play the year list every single week just for the colour to itself. I used to get some buzz watching, like, this guy just keeps kicking the ball in his own goal. I was like, that's fascinating. Because Nave Dales can do that. The top players produce unbelievable moments, but these guys just produce unbelievable moments in a bizarre way. And that's the thing that's always got me. It might seem a bit weird and mad, but usually that used to get me a bit, fuck, I like this guy. I like him a lot. I used to watch Craigan's reaction after they used to score on goals or kick the ball to part every single time. And I used to watch him after it. And I just thought, I might be in that guy's head now to see what he's feeling like. And I go
and
that
you can
bus.
Just tell he's been there, he's done that, he's
been
just
there,
dealt with it.
Done it again. You know what I mean? Easy. Do you know what I mean?
I'm your spiteful one, Kev. I never used to vote Celtic players.
Love that.
I'll be honest, I didn't. I would always want. So, if it was last year, was it Cal McGregor? Who won it last year, Cal McGregor?
Was it
Cal? I can't remember. Anyway, they were in the running with Alfredo. So obviously I'm going to want Alfredo to win it, innit?
And you can't vote for your own team.
I know, but that's what I'm saying. But if I vote Callum McGregor, it's a vote towards him that Alfredo can't get.
That's shocking, Andy, for you.
Who cares? Fuck it.
Nah. But understandable.
But I would be honest with every other team.
You've got it, but
the thing is, that with the vote, predominantly the best player ends up getting the nod anyway.
I'd be very surprised, and I'd go as far as saying they'd be lying. If Celtic players didn't do the same.
Yeah. No, you're probably right.
Has there ever been any shocking winners? You're like, how the fuck is he winning that? In any walk of life?
I don't know. I couldn't imagine.
Did Charlie Moreno win it 1 year?
I only asked that there just to give myself
I was just on a TV programme, I was watching that, I saw the big man, I was just thinking, I'm sure he won player of the year.
Aye, he did.
He did, didn't he? Aye.
But he's fantastic.
Apparently did a great speech.
I was a bit of your position.
No, by the way, I've got one. But you don't know, have a fucking... I don't have a clue. I can't even remember who it was. But anyway, the story was, see, when we got demoted by Livy into Division 3, we won the league by like 17 points and none of our players won player of the year. It was some fucking idiot for Queen's Park or something that finished fourth bottom.
They
never really scored. It wasn't the top goal scorer. It wasn't
nothing.
That's actually perfect to move me on to my next thing. Did he go to the Player of the Year awards and go up and lift that? Were you there?
I think we booed him a lot.
Question. I said that absolutely fucking terrible again. Do you know what I mean?
Do you know what? It was the same year as though. Do you remember when he was there when Rory McAllister won the League One Player of the Year?
Aye.
And he was absolutely fucking steaming. Do you remember that? No.
I never went to him.
And he went up and accepted his Player of the Year award for League One, and he was wrecked.
Was that the worst?
And they were asking him a question in that, and he was like, do you want me to give you a song? He said something like that. Oh. And people were like, oh my God, this guy's... I've heard another story. I don't know if it's true. I wasn't at the awards, but there was a year where Amy McDonald was presenting it. Have you heard this?
No.
It was the year James Forrest won player of the year. Your bro.
He didn't talk about it. He's with me.
She's like that. So she's presenting the award and she's like, and the PFA player of the year award winner is Richard Foster. And all the lights went off. The lights went down, the spotlights came on, like, waiting for Richard, and then she was like, nah, only kidding. Like,
did it go down well?
No, it went down like a lead balloon, apparently.
Oh, man.
I like that for her, though.
She's looking after her man, isn't she? It would have been awkward, though, wouldn't it, if you were there.
Did you go to many Player of the Year awards?
No. 9 times out of 10, our Player of the Year awards was the same night.
I know, I don't think I've actually ever been to any of the Scottish ones. I never went to the player. Is it the writer's one?
The writer's one.
Have you ever seen it in Messi happening?
Nah. I just remember going 1 year to the writer's one and fucking Griggsy was there and man, he was absolutely steaming. And I just thought, this is what we're here for. Just get pissed and enjoy the night.
Scotty McLaughlin get banned if you go into them.
No way.
Banned if you go into the awards because.
What did he do?
Just throwing pink glasses and everything.
He is a full blown crackpot, isn't he?
Nutcase. Kevin.
Yes.
Can you see Rangers steamrolling to the league title now?
Aye, absolutely. Said it last year when they were top of the league this time last year. I thought they were favourites because I thought they were performing well. The reason they didn't win the league last year because of their own inadequacies, they capitulated, whereas I don't see that happening this time. They just look like a team that when they get that first goal, it's a case of how many, whereas That's just an air of confidence that's running through the club now. The fans are now buying on board. Gerrard's got them. Gerrard's not been quite as animated as he was before in the past. I think he's been quite reserved, and I think that feeds into how the players have been. It would take something disastrous for Rangers now to see this over the line. I know it's only December, fucking whatever it is the day, and there's a lot of games to go. The way you can look at it is, and this is just stupid to say this, and I'll say it, but because I've said many fucking stupid things. Celtic win all their games, they win the league. Can you see Celtic winning? Can't even see Celtic winning their next game, to be honest. So it's not going to happen. Until it's in mathematically possible, there's always hope. But Rangers are in such a good place now that, say the word steamrolling, right now at this moment in time, it's been a canter for them, because I don't think they have had any issues in any games. I look at the 2-2 draw with Hibs, and they'll say, aye, Hibs gave them a good game. I don't think Hibs did. I think Rangers effectively missed too many chances that game and could have won that game comfortably. And for me, it's down to Rangers, it's down to character now, and it's down to the manager and keeping everybody's feet on the ground and just seeing the job through. There's a long way to go, but the way things are looking, there's more points to be lost at the other side of the city than there is to be at this side of the city.
I agree with Gerrard. He's doing well managing expectations.
Yes.
Now, because you can tell it would be so easy for the players and the fans to get carried away now. Because let's be honest, see, as much as Celtic want to win 10, Rangers are desperate to stop it.
Yeah.
So it can no be at the back of the forefront of the players' minds, but you've got to realise that see if Rangers had, for example, the position they're in the now, 13 points clear, 2 games in hand. See if Rangers performed the way they did last season from January to the end of the season, and they do that again this year, there's a chance they don't win the league, regardless how many points they are ahead. That's why Gerrard's, I feel as if he's doing so well just managing the players' emotions and their expectations, but it is theirs to lose. If you're 13 points ahead, of course it's yours to lose. And it's just...
Andy, what's this doing to you? So obviously Celtic are in a bad place, right? But Rangers are complete opposite. And the way last season ended, I actually thought Gerrard could have left. And it sums up him as a guy. Obviously, he's a winner. He ain't going to leave when the chips are done. But how's there been... How have they come back this season and performing so highly?
Well, it's mere last year. I still think that we had it in us last year to do that.
Yeah.
It was mere, I couldn't answer the question of why we're so bad after January. That's the question I couldn't answer.
Yeah.
So this year, listen, did I expect them to be as good as they've been this year? Maybe not as good, but I still think they improve it. They've improved every year under Gerrard, and they've improved again this year. So they've got better than the stage that we were like, but every player, you couldn't pick a player for Rangers and say they're not playing well. You couldn't pick one.
Somebody said that it could be wrong that last season at this time, Rangers are this season only 3 points ahead of Rangers last season.
Mm-hmm.
So they're obviously well producing it last year, do you know what I mean?
But it was,
I think also what contributes to this is that all the talk is regarding Celtic. So Rangers are allowed to just go about their business, and there's no too much spotlight.
Nothing's coming out, is it?
Yeah?
Nothing's coming out of Rangers at all.
No, nothing. They're just going about their business. The fans are having their bit of banter on your social media platforms, like all fans do. But ultimately, all the chat and the newspapers, the news, the social media, it's all about Celtic, and Rangers are just going about their business, picking up their points, no screaming for the rooftops, move on, next game, playing their Europa League games through the week, performing there and just going about their business very, very professionally.
Andy, for a Rangers man, would you love to see a glamour tie in Europa League last 16? Is it last 16?
No.
Last 32.
No.
Let me start that again, Andy. Andy, as a Rangers man, let me start that again, Andy, sorry.
This is the getting cut out, mate. So you may as well just
see it. Bastard. Andy, as a Rangers man, would you love to see a glamour tie in the last 32 round?
Rangers versus Slaney.
That'd be unreal.
Yeah, that'd be brilliant.
Would you like to see it?
No, I wouldn't. I'd like to see them try to get as far as they could. And what the fuck does glamour ties matter if there's no fans?
Yeah.
Genuinely.
I think so, if I'm
going to the San Siro for the first time, I can't care if there's no fans in there. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. The reason you want to play at these stadiums, you want to experience the atmosphere of how intense these fans can be. For me, if I'm a player, I want to get the best possible draw to try and get as far as I can in the competition. Because let's be honest, you couldn't back against Rangers now.
No.
You couldn't back against Rangers getting to the quarter final again, or or maybe one step forward to it. Obviously, it's going to be a big ask because you see the teams that could potentially drop down for the Champions League. So they're going to need to be, they're going to need to have luck on their side when it comes to the draw. But if it was me, I'd be looking to win the game against Poznan, finish top of the group, and try and get a favourable tie.
I said right to my best mate in the world, Willie, a big Rangers man. We're a big Rangers man, and we don't let that barrier cross the two, right? And I said to him, Kev, right? I said, the only positive I can take for this situation is Rangers have qualified, that they've got more games, right? And he said, that's what Rangers fans have been saying the last 5 years when Celtic have been going in the Champions League and stuff like that. So I don't know if I'm just clutching at straws. I don't know if playing in Europe in these quarterfinals and stuff like that maybe almost makes it the league, I don't know, gives you maybe a buzz. And no, I don't know. So I kind of thought maybe the mere fixtures, it might actually be in Celtic's favour, but I don't know if that works at for the both of you.
I could understand why you would think that, and a lot of people think that, but see, when you're on a run of form like Rangers are, they want to play as much games as they possibly can because it's just giving them confidence all the time, like Celtic would get when they were going for 8-0, 9-0, whatever it is, and their trebles and quadruple, whatever they were. The more games they got, the more confidence, the more the team became more of a unit, that you could swap players in, swap players out and trust them. Whereas with Rangers, they're doing exactly what Celtic. So to have extra games isn't going to hinder Rangers' league form. I think it's going to help them, if anything.
Aye.
Because of how well they're playing, that the manager will change the European ties and he'll mix a few personnel, which allows people to get a rest, but it also allows people to come in and understand that this is the way we play. If you can't come in and adapt to that, then you won't get in. And I think that's the key, that when people do come in, they're all trying to play as well as everybody else so that they can make that position their own. And I just think it's a win-win for Rangers at the moment.
I tell you what, I would like to see Rangers at one stage in the competition play a team for England.
Would that actually...
A Tottenham or a Leicester or...
Man United could fall into that.
They could fall, don't
they? Don't get a point at Leipzig.
Rangers over two legs over anybody, I think. Because defensively they're quite strong now and they're scoring goals from everywhere... Me personally, I think it would be a great good. They would, I think they would fancy their chances.
It minds me the fact that, like, it winds me up when people down in England talk down Rangers and Celtic and that can't handle it down here.
Embarrassing.
We'll fucking see then.
Exactly.
Let's see what happens. I would fancy Rangers to give Tottenham top of the Premier League. I would still fancy Rangers to give them a good game.
Yep.
Leicester. I put Rangers favourites if they play Leicester, to be honest.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I'm very close to Rodgers, obviously. We send emails.
I just think that when it comes to these big one-off ties, the two-legged things, that Rangers and Celtic, when they're on their game, they're a match for anybody in England.
Nah,
I don't care what anybody says. And you might not have crowds in that now, but it's not easy playing Celtic and Rangers.
See people that say that if Rangers and Celtic are in the Premier get relegated, they've not got a fucking clue.
Celtic and Rangers
are
a
lot of shite.
See if they had their money.
Celtic and Rangers had their money, they would be top four and competing and...
Tell them, Kev!
Let me tell you right now, would you rather live in North East England or fucking Glasgow? Glasgow's a great city.
That's the best.
Good on you, big man. And I'll not even just that. See Aberdeen as well, and Murrell. Look what Aberdeen done to Burnley.
Aye, exactly.
Aberdeen slapped Burnley's arse. Sean Dyche was running away. So listen, the Scottish game is absolutely amazing. Sometimes I can criticise it, but it's more insecurities myself, Andy, and I like to do that. But anyway, we're going to move on.
Is that why, if Motherwell day go and play, is that why you would go back to Motherwell?
There you go. Listen, as I've said many times, I'm the youngest European goal scorer in that club's history. Do you know what I mean?
I love that shout. That's fucking
like... It ain't no shout. It's on the fucking record books. It is on Steve Pavement Stoned. So, I just wanted to ask you there. This is something, because I'm the host and I kind of want to have my own spin on it. What, can you remember a time where you've been the horniest you've ever been? I genuinely see the date. See, when I get the message to say you might be the host, I genuinely think I just want to talk about everything but football. I want to talk about, like, going out on dates and how you speak to a woman and stuff you've done on dates and stuff like that.
Well, you've got a taste for it now, haven't you?
Aye, dates are horrible, mate, aren't they?
Yes.
You've got to. It's almost like your first day on a football team, because that impression can last with the boys. I remember MK Dons about doing Hidden Disaster.
First time you go for a shower.
And that can be the first time on a date as well.
See, when you were going into the shower for the first time, did you like warm it up and that?
My issue was, right, even when I warmed it up, it was still no showing any good signs. I used to go with my pants on.
I used to get in the shower and I never worried, never bothered me. I just would go in and shower. But when people come in and the one hand or the balls, I'm like, mate, just fucking move the one hand because your hand's just tiny. Your hand's tiny. Yeah. So we know your cock's tiny. Just put it away and just deal with it. If you came in with the two hands, you went, I would maybe be thinking, oh, he's got a unit under there. But nah, I never ever worried about it. I used to get into a couple of helicopters, not a problem.
It's a Paul's Lane show now, isn't it?
I don't even want to get back to the fit one.
Si's getting the boot, isn't
he? Aye.
Wonder what Si's doing. Should we FaceTime him?
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Can we like FaceTime?
Wonder what he's doing. What do you think he's doing now?
What side then? Fuck, no, it's pouting probably.
Pouting. Moving his lips to get even filler put in.
Right, lads, obviously onto the biggest club in the world, Celtic. Listen, don't anybody start thinking you're saying it in here because I'm the host today. I need to stay on
partial.
Very impartial. So you two need to take over here. Kevin Kyle, another shocking result for Celtic v St Johnstone. What is going on, mate?
I don't think it was a shocking result. I think it was expected.
Right.
I'm going to say that. St Johnstone's actually playing quite well. So St Johnstone played decent enough football. They would go to Parkhead with the same thinking of Ross County and think, I mean, they've won 2-0 here last week. Why can we not come here and get a result? A team void of confidence, a team that's got no real identity this year. I think that St Johnstone, for me, would be going there yesterday thinking we could get a point out of this. I don't think.
How bad is that though?
I know it's bad, but like if I was Callum Davidson as the manager of St Johnstone, I certainly wouldn't have been hearing my team talk around the fact that we're going to play Glasgow Celtic today and they are on fire and it's going to be a tough game. I think my mind would be they're in a struggle now and we can go there the day with the thinking that we might get something.
But that's where it's completely and utterly how that.
People can argue that, no, right, and say that's just fact. That is how it is.
But how bad is that? That's the season gone for 10 in a row, that teams are now going to Celtic Park believing that, because the last 9 years, people going to Celtic Park would have been petrified, trying to just keep the score down. Now they're turning up, aye, expecting it. And even yesterday, you didn't expect Celtic to get much out of that. And that's just the way it's been gone. And how that's been allowed this season is absolutely shocking. See, to have lost 10 this season, it would have been heartbreaking, right? Because nobody's ever done it. It would have been unbelievable, right? And it can still happen, okay? It can still happen. I ain't backing down yet. But what I will say is, Rangers have been brilliant, but to have gave it up and as easy as this, the start of December, and you're out every single trophy. It's an absolute disgrace.
I don't
want this to sound right because I wasn't good enough to play with Celtic. I stopped playing at 21, so I can't be with this guy saying players aren't good enough or players aren't doing this because I wasn't good enough. So I'm not that guy. I'm talking as a fan. What has been put on show isn't acceptable.
It's not that the players aren't good enough. The players are good enough. The problem is that...
Why did he snigger after saying all that?
He initially said at the beginning of that conversation he wasn't going to be too much.
I understand why.
Mate, it's passion.
Seriously?
It's passion.
How is this possible?
The players, for me, haven't become bad players overnight.
Of course.
What's happened is there's been a new experience has happened to these players in terms of they went from used to winning every week and performing quite well, and when they didn't perform quite well, they would still win. Whereas now, when they're not performing well, they're getting the confidence is zapped out of them. And when they're leaving the stadiums to the crowd of Celtic fans that are there, That's no nice in any. Like I was relegated twice with Sunderland. The kind of things happened to me at Sunderland. It's no nice because you don't deliberately get there to try and perform bad or to get there with no confidence. It just happens sometimes. And the unit that is Celtic, the 11 players in the team, isn't functioning the way it used to function. So how does that get fixed? First and foremost, for me, I don't want to be too critical of how things are coached because I've not been at that level to coach. Defensively, they're all over the place. Yesterday's goal that was conceded, Frimpong does well to get the clearance away. But what he does then is he then goes chasing the ball. Don't chase the ball, son. Stay in your position. You've done the first bit right. If he doesn't go chasing it, he sits in. That ball that gets put in, Frimpong cuts that out. But because he goes chasing the ball, gets it done, plays the ball in behind Frimpong, squares it in, goal. It's basic defensive errors, Slaney.
When you're at a stage in December when not one player has had pass marks, that's something seriously wrong. Like if there's maybe one or two players, you could maybe say whatever that he's been turned. When it's the full hang, something has to change and the manager has to change. Like I love Neil Lennon, and I know there's errors on the pitch that you'd be saying that Neil Lennon can't identify about that. I've been in a situation where you go in the pitch and you don't know what's going on, and that's the stage we Celtic now. They need a complete change. Listen, I love Lennon, I would love him to stay and turn it around. I can't see it happening. Celtic in the last nine seasons have been setting record after record. New Celtic are setting records in Europe for the worst conceding amount of goals. If they concede three the next game, it's going to be the worst in the Europa League history. We've now set a record, I think, the worst win in the last 12 or 13 or whatever. That something has to change. You can't get rid of fucking 25 players. That's the players you're with this season. These players... that's no escaping. The players haven't been good enough this season. But you have to look what is the problem. And this happens in football... Every single time the manager changes, and I'm not saying a manager might come in and it might know, but you can't just keep sitting like this.
So when Rangers capitulated last year, right? I say that word capitulated, they did, right? They only lost a couple of games and they drew one, I think, whereas Celtic's run is worse than that. Like, this is like, it's really, really grim. And sometimes when you change your manager, you get a boost, you get that impact straight away. That's what Celtic are needing if that's the route that they choose to go down. Lenny will be hurting, absolutely no doubt about that, because of his history and the man he is.
Everybody though.
But for me, and I don't ever like to see anybody out of a job, but Celtic, to give themselves any sort of chance of clawing something back, they need a change. Last week was 11 points. Was it 11 points last week, right? Two games in hand. You win the two games in hand, you're at five. Three Old Firm games, you think, still tough, but there's a possibility. Let's go a week ahead. We're now at 13 points, two games in hand. That, for me, at this moment in time, it's all right saying two games in hand. You've got to win those two games in hand. Aye. Can you see Celtic winning two games in hand now, the way they're performing? It's going to be difficult. So even if they do, it's 7 points. That's a big ask. Rangers are in a position just to throw away 7 points like that. So for me, you need to get a change in. You need to give what's there an opportunity to try and have a go at it. And if they get close, then questions will be asked of the other side as to what, why was this change not made a bit earlier? But we're here just to have a conversation, a debate in our own opinions. They might be right, they might be wrong, but looking on the outside in, there's something not quite right.
It's so hard to ask the next question, right? Because I've got a few of them.
What are your experience of playing in a team when no matter what the coaching staff tries, nothing works?
Right, so going off the back of the second half of last season, I think I've said this a couple of times, so I don't want to bore people by saying the same things. See, I'm not going to pick a specific Celtic player, right? But say some of the Celtic players that have won 10 trophies, 12 trophies at the club, have scored X amount of goals and performed X amount of unbelievable games, man of the matches. See when they start canny passing for A to B, as a player, how can you explain that? You actually canny? Because I've been there myself, been there last year when I remember we lost 1-0 to Hamilton at home and we were terrible and you're coming off the game, you're like, What has happened to us? We were batting teams every week. We were top of the league in December. How has this happened? But watching Celtic, they just look absolutely shattered of confidence.
Aye.
Like the players look shattered of confidence. So see, it's no great for a Celtic's point of view that you're saying this, but see, when Edouard goes through 1-1 in the first 20 minutes and it doesn't go in, and then the next chance where Rodgers gets a header and it doesn't go in, you do get the sense watching it like, they're going to drop points here. Like they could drop points here. Like, it's just, they just need something like that to go in, to kick-start them. I see the game yesterday when it's 1-1, they then get a last-minute winner. Something that has to galvanise, like you're saying, something within the structure that might need to change. But just right now, they just look shattered of confidence.
Like the confidence thing Andy's saying is brilliant, right? It's bang on the point. The Edouard of last year, when that ball's been slipped through, he opens up his body and he bends that either on the far corner or he gives the keeper the eyes where he's let it run in front of him and he's just kind of flicked at it with the right foot and the keeper's made a save. That's somebody that's no at the top of his game. The confidence thing, the Rogic thing, the header when the Christie free kick, I think it's Ayer or Julian's headed it back and he's just headed it wide. Like that's to me is... That's me as a guy that headed the ball. That's a straightforward, just put it back at the way it's come from. It's a goal. Into the second half, the one that's come in, and I think it's Ayer's one. No, Ayer. Julian's won the header. Edwards flicked it on, and Beaton's just kind of, he's just kind of went like that. That's where you've really got to be going, fuck you, in you go, and make it the goal. Whereas it's just no happening. It's just like the old thing you're saying is you're needing something going off the backside or a fluke or a deflection or something. Celtic's just no getting that. I think if Celtic had scored in the first 10, 15 minutes yesterday, they possibly could have went on and maybe scored 3 or 4. But the longer these games go on where they've no scoring, that's when the doubt, so that the small bit of confidence that the confidence that they've lost, the longer these things go on, the confidence becomes like this. And then the insecurity starts setting in. You're like, oh, please, you could score the day, or you try this and you try that. And I think that's just, like, I've been in that type of team.
What month was the Old Firm game?
That was in September, August. Was it August?
It's usually August,
September,
but...
Right, was it not?
September this year, wasn't
September.
It?
September. So we've been, from then, I remember, just on that point, actually, people saying I was a shite bag for no coming on last week. Barry Ferguson and Andrew Halliday, two biggest, best Rangers players I've ever played the game at Rangers. I came on that show and showed my face. So don't ever say I'm a shite bag.
It was us that said you were a shite bag.
Aye, I did. But what was I going to say there? So this has been from then. Aye. We've been talking about this lacklustre performances. Not one player get past marks that game, and we're still talking about it now. 8 goals v. Spark a fag. Plague.
No, you're right.
In my experience, I was only in the game a short time. We are United. When Matt Roberts, I actually love Matt Roberts as a guy, and a lot of the boys did. But we were just lost out in the pitch. We generally coming off after the game, I can remember guys like Scott McLaughlin in there. A leader, other guys who were good players. I shouldn't be comparing Air United for Celtic, what they've accomplished. But my experience, when we came off the pitch, we actually didn't know what we were doing. We didn't know how we were losing so many goals, getting beat every single week. And then Ian McCall came in. Do I like Ian McCall? Absolutely not. Don't like the guy. But it did change for his point of view.
Yeah.
There needed something different. And sometimes I actually think that people are saying you need somebody that knows the game, you know the players, you know the Scottish game. So I kind of think they maybe get a manager that doesn't know, and it's almost a fresh start for everybody. So he's coming in, he doesn't know any of them. So they're all starting afresh, and it's a full new outlook. This has to change. It can't go on. I think the way it's looking now, I remember last season, right, when the league got stopped and Rangers fans were saying it was still 2 Old Firm games, and my argument to them was, I know it was 2 Old Firm games that Celtic would have thought they would have won. Now that's the same now. We're saying there's 3 Old Firm games, but Rangers will be looking at their games and now licking their lips saying, I can't wait to get Celtic, and it's the opposite effect. But if a new manager comes in, that feeling can change very quickly. They can really change quickly, trust me. So this league ain't over.
No, I'll agree with the point that a new manager would, but for me, when we look at the new managers coming in, every name that gets mentioned is an ex-Celtic man or a Celtic player. Maybe they need to get away from the whole needing somebody Celtic in there to understand what 10-year-old might mean or what stock, like these things. Let's just get a good qualified manager in who tactically is astute, who can change things, who is not scared to drop certain individuals. I think just look at, if they go down the route of saying, Neil, thanks very much for your services, we need to change things, they need to look at all sorts of CVs and say, right, who is the best guy for this job? Sometimes we don't need a Celtic man, somebody who just is able to make the team tick.
But see now, if you receive a phone call, who's going to want to take that job then now?
It's still a great opportunity.
I don't think so, mate.
No, it still is.
You don't need nothing?
No.
You don't want to be the manager?
No, that's a negative look at it. You don't need nothing. You might not get the points clawed back, but to become the Celtic manager, and if it doesn't work out this year, think of what you could do taking the club going forward. Could you be the guy that qualifies for the Champions League? Because next year, I think both first and second qualify for the Champions League. So whether Celtic finish second, they still potentially could be in Champions League. The negative look on becoming a Celtic manager now is because things aren't great, but you should always look at the positive as a manager coming into a new job. What can I do with this club going forward? Can I be the next great? That's the way I see it. And that's the way any manager worth their salt will be looking at that Celtic
job. Who would you think then?
Who would I think?
Would come into that?
Sreeni.
Ian McCall.
Wouldn't even have a clue where to start. But look at Steven Gerrard finishing his career at Liverpool, right? In America, whatever it was. He looked at the Rangers opportunity because he totally understood the potential he had at Rangers. So yeah, at the beginning, the first few years was tough. It was negative. It was not quite how he'd hoped it'd be. But perseverance, persistence, hard work, look where he's got them. And think of in the future, 50 years down the line, he was the guy that potentially stopped 10 in a row. When all things looked like it was heading that way, that's what he sees. And that's the way I think if a new Celtic manager comes, should look at it in that light. And I think that's the fucking best point that's been made on here.
I think you've said it very well.
I just think
Steven Gerrard, right? So he picked up an absolute shit show, didn't he?
Aye.
But he wins the league this year. He's regarded as one of Rangers' best ever managers. Yes. And I'm not even joking. Just off of one trophy.
Exactly.
Because it's the most important league that Rangers have had to win for two decades. You're not happy, are you?
I just can't believe it's got to us. So see, just before we move on, just on Celtic, for now, or even in January and stuff, what does Celtic need to do?
I think repetitive.
Get you in.
Why is that not
I don't know what the fucking thing, mate.
Like, I'd be unbelievable in that
unbelievable.
Place. Incredible.
Honestly, how horny will they all be?
Oh my God. Do you know what I mean? Think of the check before the game.
Exactly.
Moving on to St Mirren and Kelly. Become the first teams to have their games forfeited for breaking COVID rules. Kevin, Andrew, what's your thoughts on that decision?
My thoughts are that the rules are there in place, and I know you can't babysit players, so whether they're coming in a group of four in a car, you can't babysit them all the time, but it's a hard one for the governing bodies because there's rules and regulations there that they've got to implement, and St Mirren and Kelly have been a victim of that, but at the same time, they are partly to blame.
I feel for them because I don't know if they followed it down to a T. I don't know what their protocols are. And see, like being a part of it, you literally doing everything you can to follow the guidelines that the club are put in place. And honestly, see at Hearts, they do everything possible to adhere to the governing body and the guidelines. But let's face it, you could catch us.
Aye.
That's the thing for me.
You can catch us walking down the street.
Andy,
that's us going foot shop.
That's the thing for me. You can do everything right at the club. So you live here in Glasgow and you're going through to Edinburgh to train and you do everything right there. You come through here, you might need to stop and fill your car up. You might go to the petrol station, you might pick up a pump. And it's just like, and there might be COVID on there.
See the biggest thing though, right? See, 80% of every squad, so St Mirren and Kelly squads, they'll have kids. These kids have got to school.
Yeah.
It's in the classroom.
Brilliant, Andrew.
Classroom, mate, with 20 other boys. That's what other girls.
Kids.
Listen, it's difficult to say what happens when the investigation comes back. See, if they've not followed the guidelines, then you can't argue.
Yeah.
But it's the way the world is, you could catch it.
I genuinely believe that anyway. The governing bodies have to take into consideration that we're in unbelievably different circumstances in life.
Yeah.
And there should be some sort of waiver or some sort of discrepancy somewhere that, right, okay, this is a tough time for everybody. We can't, like you say, I've got four kids and following the book by the law, and my kids go to school where they don't wear masks and they don't social distance. they come home. I don't know if I've got the coronavirus from my kids or whatever. So it's the same for all the footballers. They may have caught it somewhere else, no, within a club. So the club's probably done everything possible. If they've caught it out with a third party, you can't determine.
So that's where the frustration's going to come from.
And that's where the frustration, where the governing body should have to say, right, there's a possibility they could have caught it somewhere else.
Right. But see if there's an investigation, and obviously they've all been... Well, sharing the room with you and Paul the Tim, then it's their own fault.
I don't know how it's turned.
You used to wear masks, so.
I don't know how it's turned to go to it. I'm sick of the COVID, do you know, but.
I'm sick of it as well, but.
I used to see when I was out walks and all that, people came up to me, birds and that. I used to winch from the street, right? No joke. You were kind of date, mate. Do you know what I mean? Because of masks. Aye. Fucking rubbish.
So just like, how would you go about it, though? Just like.
You just blow them a kiss. Stick a tongue at them.
Anyway, is it a psychological blow for St Mirren and Kilmarnock?
Who cares?
I know. Well, we just
if obviously big blow, they had two games in the hand.
It's a boost for Chipper.
It's a
boost for
Chipper.
Supposedly
he was seen in Hamilton running about screaming, going mental because of that. I don't know if that's true or no. Supposedly he was going mental because they two got there.
But celebrating?
Aye.
That's poor for Chipper, man. What, man?
Right. Are we moving on for him?
Aye.
Only a big name, Sam Cosgrove. Rumours is it right now, I've read this here for the first time, rumours is that Sam Cosgrove has been watched with Newcastle. Would you say that's a lot of nonsense, or have you heard these rumours?
Well, would I say the rumours are a lot of nonsense?
That Newcastle are in watching him.
First time I've heard, but he's obviously done really well, big presence, could be a striker as well. It suits like a Newcastle, because Newcastle for the last 10 years have always had that target man, that presence up front. And listen, I don't know him. If he's a good guy, then good on him. If
Sam Cosgrove's quite young, eh?
Aye. See, so, to be fair though, he's scored a barrel of goals and he's done well.
Potentially, he's got all the attributes that could take him further in the game. Whether this rumour that he's been looked at by Newcastle is true or not, you could kind of see that if he went down there. Like, I always think people say about like players come from, can players from Scotland make it in England? Sometimes when you go to a better team with better quality around you, you become a better player.
Oh, aye. And by the way, some players for England can't make it to Scotland.
Of course they can't, Andy.
What players think, Andy, in SPL that you could see Dane Weldon there? Lewis Ferguson.
Well, there's so many instances in the past where people have went down there and done well. Scott Arfield that we spoke about, so many times went down there and done well. There's been loads of
names. There's no many that's not went down.
But seeing the current teams in there, I could see
Lewis Ferguson's obviously been doing really well.
Nisbet's
been doing really well. See for me, right? He's not hit the form that he has. But see somebody like Alan Shankland, right? Where no matter where they went, they've always scored goals. Any squad would have somebody like Alan Shankland. Yeah. Am I saying he's going to go down to the Premier League and rip it up? No, because I don't know that. But I think we should have way more faith in our product, our academy products.
I can hear it.
I know he's coming for he's came for the Old Firm. We were talking about outside the Old Firm. Billy Gilmore's went down to Chelsea and he's their best academy player.
Yeah.
And he's in every squad and played 6-7 games at the end of last year. And see, I've noticed more now for the last 2-3 years. See your young boys up here, your Rangers and your Celtics, and there was a boy at Kilmarnock a couple of years ago that went down to Man City and Aberdeen's, like, clubs from down south are trying to get them early because they know how good some of the young talent is.
Brilliant, Andy.
It does annoy me. I have so many conversations with people. Sorry, Kev, to interrupt, right? See Shane Duffy, like we've spoken about before. I'll still say to this day, there's not one person out there that when they said he'd be a good signing for Celtic.
Yeah.
And he still could end up performing and being a good signing for Celtic. But he was playing every week in the Premier League and he's came in and he struggled initially. Joey Barton playing every week. Burnley's player of the year in the Premier League came to Scotland struggling initially. It's difficult up here as well because, by the way, see the expectations at Rangers and Celtic? It's different for the teams 100%. That are expected to win every week. So
you're excellent, by the way.
Our Scottish players are unbelievable, to be
honest. You really are, you're excellent. Can you just tell me a wee bit about Joey Barton? Maybe you like Joey talking about him? No.
If you want.
He's all right, guy.
Good guy, mate. I said that. I got along with him off the pitch and on the pitch.
Did he struggle, do you think, up here, or was it more the Rangers team?
Well, let's be honest. Of course he did. Because he was. See that last year at Burnley? He was unbelievable. Got the player of the year, championship player of the year.
And it's similar to what we're saying. See when he's getting linked, he's saying, but you're like, oh, buzzing, what an addition. But he never hit the ground running just like the rest of the squad did. So it wasn't like the squad was flying and he underperformed. He underperformed just like everybody else did. It's difficult to play up here. And see like your Ross Counties and that. Ross County get beat after Kilmarnock out 4-3-1 when Kilmarnock were down to 10 men for 80 minutes. But see when they play Celtic, that is their cup final.
Yep.
Because you know why? These players want to play for a Celtic, or they want to play for Rangers. That's their big chance to impress in their biggest game per se for the season. So you're getting the best version of the teams 9 times out of 10.
Yeah. Anything, Kevin?
I just always think that, like, we do produce a lot of young talent in Scotland that come through. But sometimes when our young talent goes south and they come through, they're like, it's the big wow. Like, they're really, really good. Because right now in England, I'm pretty sure there's a flurry of young Scottish players. Like the McGinn thing, people can talk about, with Celtic losing out at McGinn. It's a difficult one because, say, John McGinn went down to Aston Villa and it didn't quite go the way that it's went.
Yeah.
Would we have this argument? It works both ways, you know what I mean? John McGinn's been a John McGinn, Tierney. Like we produce good players, and I think this game, in particular Scotland, we knock ourselves too often. Because I spent 10 years in England, and I played League One, and League One is worse than the SPL. The Championship for me is probably on a par, but they've got so much more money. You think of like mediocre Championship players getting 8-9 grand a week. There's nobody outside the Old Firm gets 8-9 grand a week. The maximum outside the Old Firm would probably get 3-4 at a push. Unless you're Derek McInnes. But ultimately, there's not a lot of money in Scottish football.
What did you say to see growing up? What was the best game you've ever watched live?
Outside.
Even for me, it was Juventus Celtic. No, growing up. That's no growing up. That was during my career. But when Celtic played Juventus.
But a game you've been
in
at.
The Champions League.
Do you remember the Scotland-England game? Griffiths scored the free kicks.
I remember the Don Hutch one when we beat them 1-0 at Wembley. That was incredible. Because they won the first leg 2-0, Paul Scholes scored twice, and then we were like 1-0, and then I think it was Christian Daly, or it might have been Christian Daly, had a header, and it was like David Seaman made this unbelievable save, that would have made it 2-2, and we could have been gone like, but it's just football, that's why we've got a platform to talk about it, it's amazing.
The best games I've ever watched, so 90 minutes sat and watched on a telly, both of them happened 2 days within each other. The Man City Tottenham. No, I'm talking utter nonsense. Tottenham Ajax, and the other one was Liverpool Barca. 2 days apart.
So it was.
Aye, we were amazing.
Watching the two games, it was like,
aye,
what
fairy tale stuff on it.
Do you remember the Brazil Germany one?
Aye, that was unbelievable. Aye.
Mate, I remember just sitting there and my mouth was just open from start to finish.
That was
a game.
Andrew, Hearts, brilliant win at the weekend, mate.
Aye.
How was it?
Needed it. Talked about the Alloa performance, the Alloa result. Like you say, the criticism was inevitably going to come, and deservedly so, because you get put out of the cup against a team that you were favourites to and win. But I still felt that we, for the majority of the game, we'd done the right things. We created, by far and away, the best chances of the game, but got punished because we didn't take them. So, but it was important for us to bounce back straight away, because like you said, you don't want to turn these blips into runs of poor results, but we needed it, and it puts us back to the top of the league. And going after the game, well, Morton had a game plan to sit in and frustrate us, but like I said, when you play these games, the first goal is so important. So the game for Jamie comes at a good time for us, and then going into the second half, they're going to be a bit more adventurous and try and come out, and obviously managed to get the second, and after that it was pretty comfortable for us, but we needed it, because I've spoken about it. We've got a good team. We've got a good squad. And, obviously, our main objective. I know the Scottish Cup final is coming up, and everybody's looking forward to it. Our main objective is to get the club back into the top flight. The first time asking, it was good to get back to.
He's
the
got
top
a great league. Squad of players, isn't he?
We've got a really good squad.
Naismith is brilliant.
Aye, Naismith is still. I think he can't be a kicking ass after 35.
Does he shout at all the time at people? No, in a good way, but
he's an angry man.
He's no. He's experienced enough to obviously date in the right manner and speak to people in the right way and try and make people better. And I said, I can be a money bastard.
Is anybody you don't like in the team?
No.
Nobody? Sure.
I might say it when I finish my time at Hearts. There might be somebody.
Right, but boys. Nah, good guys. What we got? Lads, right at the end, and I was trying to avoid it. Lord Anderson, day.
This is the main talking point of the week.
Right, I'll just tell you my whole. I was in there so confident, right? I was in there before she arrived.
But I noticed she was actually. So she went for like, she was really smitten at first.
Yeah.
And as soon as she was doing all the wee giggling and that. But then I thought she got a bit overawed by your presence and all. Because
I don't
it's
know.
That, it's that media. It's the frenzy that comes with you. It must have been difficult
for
her.
The problem with her is, and I think this is probably how it all unfolded as bad as it did. When she turned up, there was all so many press outside.
Aye.
Or screaming, going mental because she was coming in. They were all waiting to see who the woman was. I was so confident getting into it, playing the guitar and all that. Really, really confident. Just sort of, the camera crew and all that. Didn't speak to him at all, you know what I mean? It's actually weird, I had a camera guy get me coffee and all that. He's meant to be doing his job setting the camera. I was like, get off that now and get me a coffee. And he done it all. It was lovely to see. It started so well. I'm not going to lie, I felt in my comfort zone. I couldn't believe it because I'm amazing at talking to women. Amazing. When it goes to that stage, a beautiful lady, I can, in the past, my record can really crumble. In the dancing, I remember many occasions when the lights going at 3 a.m, the bird I've been winching all night quickly runs away from me in disgust, the lights have gone. And that almost got the feel to that when the first 10 minutes was nothing short of superb for me. The way I sang, the way I went about my business. I then came out with a comment. I ain't going to say the comment, but it was nothing bad. It just didn't go down too well as much as I'd thought. And it swiftly and quickly changed. And the mood about the place certainly changed, and as you know, I completely, genuinely here, I completely crumbled. I remember sitting there and my head was blank, shaking, didn't know what to say now, didn't know what sort of angle to approach it. Because my whole thought was, I wanted to get with her. There's no word to lie, I wanted to get with her. That's the stage I'm at.
But did you get the feeling that she also wanted to go with you early?
She did, she was playing hard to get at first. Aye. And I don't mind that because I know I'll get her in the end. But after the first 10 minutes, mate, I just completely crumbled and It was nothing short of disastrous by the end, and I've seen it back in small clips. I couldn't watch myself the way I was behaving. I was like a loser.
Would you like a second crack?
It's absolutely. I ain't finished yet. Do you know what I mean? I almost believe it's like Celtic Rangers now. Aye. Me and her, the way it's ended now.
Aye.
I still want to go back for her, and I still believe there's something out there. Whether she's the one for me or no, certainly it's got to be a celebrity.
I think there's a celebrity out there that fucking totally loves that type of partner.
Like a Lorraine Kelly or something.
Aye. Lorraine Kelly, Fern Cotton.
Aye.
No Fern Cotton, Fern Faye this morning.
Who's that?
How old did you know? But I'm a boy for the streets. You know what I mean? I'm humble. I'm there for the people.
But you're made for the carpet.
Made for the red carpet. Whereas it's a different world. But what I was going to say to you is, own dates. Have you ever had any horrendous dates? Because I've had many bad dates, but more so with me putting it on. So if I go and I'm not feeling the bird, or if she turn, for a wee example, I'll not say exactly because it might give you something away here, but I remember I went on a date and I'd met her before and we got speaking, lovely. And then we exchanged a few messages, horny messages is that it was. And that's what I want to say. I don't care if people want to say it, but I'll say what I want to say. It was very, it ended up being a wee bit dirty, and I like that. I don't know if she took it one step too far. She turned up with dirty trainers on my date. And Andrew, I'll tell you right now, that was the first fucking sign of disrespect towards me. Don't ever turn up with dirty trainers on me. And the date quickly went downhill. And after 5-10 minutes, I think I threw the all sick in. And I'll tell the ladies out there, I ain't afraid of doing that. If it's not working after 5-10, I'll be out of there. The reason I didn't with Laura was because I could not move.
Like your Clyde days.
Exactly, Clyde days. I'll be out of there. Barry Ferguson, a big name. Sit down, Barry. Well, I'll go. So with the dates, on the dates itself.
The thing, the issue is with something like that, Paul.
I like when you comment that.
Aye, so you horny.
Absolutely.
So what this, these lasses don't realise is, see when they come up, like come out and they're going on a date with you and their appearance isn't right, see when the cameras are picking up their photos, they're on file forever.
And they let me down.
How come she got a makeup artist and you didn't?
Kev, listen, don't want to hear that. But what I will say is, this ain't the last of this. There'll be certainly more dates coming up.
Aye.
And who Paul, fair enough, right, that was the test run. Who would you like to get on a date? What are you looking for? What would your ideal date be? I know you obviously on the date you said you liked the older, maturer women.
I want to be disciplined.
You want to be so somebody like
I want somebody to discipline
a Carl Vorderman or something. No,
loved her. Loved her. I just want somebody to really, really discipline me. That simple as that. I'm needing disciplined. I'm needing spanked now and again. In the right way. Hey? In the right way. I needed spanked numerous occasions. I said to the lovely Laura, we don't go on now. Have we spoke after the show? Aye. We had a speak. We had a chat. We were on the phone a lot. Times, FaceTime. She was there in Dubai. A lot of FaceTimes to each other. And we're trying to work through this hard time. Do you know what I mean? So I don't know. I don't want to be blowing my chances with her. But
brilliant.
Certainly we...
But keep your options open.
Aye.
I certainly have, Andrew. I really, really have.
How's the Instagram DMs looking now?
Mate, unbelievable. Mm. But the issue that I've got was, as you say, the preview was unbelievable. This guy's fucking got everything. The suit, the guitar, the charm.
She loved your singing.
No, she never.
Well, she said she did.
Aye. But you can see right through somebody's eyes. She was like, why is this guy keep singing to me? But anyway, when the DMs are absolutely flying.
Aye.
And I can't, listen, I'm going to keep telling
you. Do you ever feel as if, like, this is just too much, so there's too many coming at me?
I've said in the past, that is a problem, but it could be quickly resolved. Stop messaging if you're not up to my standards. Hey, if you enjoy the buffet too much, fuck off. Hey, if you're no half private, don't bother. I ain't want to look at you if you're no up to the standards of me. And
I think two things have got to happen, right? I think there's got to be some sort of spin-off to that wee date, where either you go on a second date with Laura and maybe he's trying to resolve your differences, or maybe it's like a sort of celebrity series now, where you're just going on dates with different celebrities every week until you find somebody that can handle this, your level of stardom, because we're talking about celebrity. Obviously, there's levels to celebrities, but if we find one that can handle, Paul Slane in all its glory,
and you need to be ready for that, because when you're turning up, as I said, make sure you're ready, because that's the image I'm getting seen with.
Aye.
So when I'm walking about the streets with you, don't be turning up looking stupid.
No, it's no OK magazines and that anyway.
This is different level stuff.
Aye.
Imagine I signed my Motherwell and let the press paparazzi me and the missus get in.
Aye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.